Hello, my name is Rick Conrad, a reporter with QCCR. As part of the federal election campaign, we're speaking to the candidates in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. Today I'm joined by Patrick Boyd, the candidate for the People's Party of Canada. Welcome to QCCR, Pat, and thanks for coming in to talk to us today.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
First of all, tell us a bit about your background, who you are, and why you decided to run.
Sure. So I grew up in Vancouver, and when I graduated, I ended up going abroad. So I had a chance to work across Europe and Asia. I've got a career in initially engineering and manufacturing, and then I moved over into global banking. And while I was in Singapore, we went through the COVID pandemic, and that put a lot of pressure just in terms of reflecting on life, reflecting on the state of the world, and that motivated me to come back home to Canada. And my great-grandfather settled in Antigonish from Scotland, and so I was always intrigued by the East Coast and in particular by the Maritimes. And so I moved back here. I've been here for 3 years. I now run a small consulting firm. I'm also a volunteer firefighter and a medical first responder.
And you live in Sable River, is that right?
So I am on Sable River. I'm on the ocean, and I have a little hobby farm there.
So why did you decide to run in this campaign?
Basically, I was when I was going through university, I was a liberal, and then when I came back, I was pretty excited about the Conservatives and with Pierre Poilievre. But I've really been disenfranchised now that I've been back in Canada, and I look at the last 10 years of what I would describe as a globalist managed decline. We are sicker than we've ever been. We're poorer than we've ever been. We're more censored than we've ever been. And at the same time, you can see the parties that are running, they can really be described as a globalist uniparty. So whether you're on the liberal side or the conservative side, it's really hard to differentiate or distinguish between policies. I don't believe we should be focused on NATO forever wars. I don't believe we should be promoting or staying silent on the harms from mRNA and the World Health Organization rollout of vaccines. I don't think that CO2 or carbon dioxide should be a means of ushering in, let's call it what it is, neo-feudalism. I think it's CO2 is plant food, and I think we've got the science to back that up. And I also don't believe that we should focus on mass migration or mass immigration, particularly unskilled mass immigration. And I've seen that firsthand being in the province for the last 3+ years because 3 years ago it wasn't that visible, but the last 2 years in particular, it's becoming increasingly so. And so it's a long answer to the question, but basically I believe the main parties are largely represented by a globalist uniparty with globalist interests. I believe in Canada first, and I believe in a free and prosperous Canada. And I think the People's Party is really the platform to bring us back to that.
What do you mean by a globalist uniparty?
The globalist uniparty, so there's a number of globalist institutions. When most people hear it, they'll connect that with the World Economic Forum. That's one where you have a blend of corporate interests and global government interests, but and NGOs as well that go with it. I would say globalist interests are largely that blend. As I said, it's more of a collectivist view of elitism, where you have big business and big government from around the world basically working together in concert. And their platform is typically going to be supporting big business. It's usually focused on censorship. It's focused on a lot of perpetual wars like we've seen in Ukraine and currently the Middle East. We've seen it in terms of all of the globalist parties haven't said a word about the harms caused by mRNA, although they are mounting. And on top of that, it's mass immigration. And generally, that falls under the United Nations replacement migration, where you'll bring in a population typically from places that are relatively unskilled and also with social values that don't necessarily coincide or align with the native population. And with that, one of the benefits of that from a globalist perspective is that you're getting into that post-nation state, which is what Trudeau talked about. Trudeau is sort of globalist central, and he's talked about saying, we don't really want to have a cohesive national identity with shared social values. We want to sort of get this diluted state that's generally censored, impoverished, and obedient, and is really driven by a war economy.
So tell me what you mean by mass immigration. Can you understand why people would be skeptical of the origins of your position on that? Many people look at immigration and see the good things that it's done for the country and the province. How would you respond to that?
I'm all for immigration, I've been an immigrant myself, so I've had a chance. I did my undergrad at Simon Fraser. I had the opportunity to work in China, Poland, UK, Singapore. And I was an immigrant, so I had to make the case in terms of what skills I brought to the table that would add value and help those countries in terms of nation building. So I'm for immigration, but what we have now, I believe the number of temporary foreign workers in Queens County in the 2023 data was 1,000. The population is roughly 10,000, so it's about 10%. The interesting thing with the temporary foreign worker program is that it actually incentivizes employers to hire someone. Maybe I'll take a step back. The temporary foreign worker program is divided into two categories, skilled and unskilled. When you look at the number of temporary foreign workers in Canada, there's 500,000. Usually the split between skilled and unskilled is 50-50. In Nova Scotia, it's 70-30. 70% of the temporary foreign workers are unskilled. And the challenge with that is that we don't really need to bring in people to pour coffee, stock shelves, or flip burgers. We've got native Canadians that can do that. I think a lot of students would look for those jobs, and a lot of elderly that maybe want to supplement their pension. And so we're disenfranchising locals. We're artificially suppressing wages by bringing in people typically from the third world without skills. And what we're doing is it's very transactional, in that someone can come here and pour coffee, flip burgers, or stock shelves for 2 years. The businesses they work for get incentives to do that, so it makes economic sense for them. The people coming here, it makes economic sense for them because they'll get free healthcare and they'll be able to live in a developed country. But after those 2 years, they'll get permanent residency, or at least they'll be eligible for it. And that opens the door to family reunification. So the unskilled adult children that are pouring coffee, stocking shelves, flipping burgers, they can then bring over mom and dad, whether or not they have skills or not, but they'll come here and they'll then be able to leverage healthcare services and potentially social services in relation to welfare. And so because of that, what we're seeing is really, really unintelligent immigration policies, where we're bringing in 70% unskilled people, we're subsidizing it for local businesses, we're opening the door so those people can then get permanent residency. And because of that, we've seen the real GDP per capita declining in Canada for 7 quarters in a row and counting. So Canadians are getting less productive and more poor. And a big reason for that is because our GDP for the country stays the same, but we keep adding to the population with folks that don't necessarily bring value to the table.
But the argument for the temporary foreign worker program is that not enough current residents want to work those jobs, pouring coffee or making burgers, right?
I think we should be able to have conversations about saying, look, let's have immigration, but let's have really smart immigration where the people we bring in already have skills that are in demand, where we have shortages, where they're already coming with an education or work experience. And like I said, I've been on the other side of it, where I've had to go and make a case with an employer when I've worked abroad. What experiences do I bring to the table? I've got an MBA, I've got a Master's of Science in Communications, one from University of Chicago, one from the London School of Economics. I had to make the case to say, I'm going to financially sustain myself in those countries. I've got a job offer. I'm able to bring something to the table. We currently have an immigration system where we're bringing in people that arguably don't bring anything to the table in terms of having relevant work experience, having any sort of academic credentials, or having a means to sustain themselves. And so we're bringing in these folks, then we're doing daisy chain migration through permanent residency, family reunification, And that's why we have a declining GDP per capita. So we don't have to be xenophobic or bigoted or racist. We could just say, look, we do want to bring in folks, but we want to make sure they're bringing something to the table. And that's what the People's Party stands for.
So what have you been hearing from voters so far? Have you had a chance to get out and canvass much?
I have, and there's a few things. The mass immigration, believe it or not, does come up fairly frequently, but it does come up in sort of the whispered or hushed voices. People do see it if they're going to fuel up their car, get groceries, get a coffee. So it's quite visible. So people do bring that up, but they also bring up a few other things. They bring up the cost of living. We're in a state now where roughly one in four Canadians live in poverty, which I think is appalling. We have an issue in terms of access, accessible healthcare, and we also have an issue in terms of some people, or some parents rather, are concerned in terms of what they may view as indoctrination when they send their kids to school. So I would say those are the three pillars or three issues in addition to immigration.
So that brings me to one of the issues that a lot of people in Queens County may be concerned about, and that's the commercial fishery. Some people involved in the industry say there's been a failure to enforce fisheries regulations over the past number of years. How would you and your party respond to those concerns?
One of the challenges, from my perspective, with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans is that they really need to have, if you're a fisheries officer, you need to have the leadership support to enforce regulations, because a fisheries officer is essentially a law enforcement officer. So that's number one. So they need to have the support from within their organization to enforce those regulations. The second thing that they've been asking for has been the equipment so that they feel like they're able to safely complete or fulfill their role. And so one of those examples would be body armor. I believe they're looking for level four, and level four is able to stop high-powered rifle rounds, which they could come in to contact with if they are, to your point, trying to enforce those regulations with different groups within the community. They don't have that. That's number one. So I think they need to get the leadership support, and then they need to get the gear and equipment to be able to fulfill that role. I think the fact that there's a bit of a vacuum right now, you hear the stories where it's basically, it has the potential to turn into the Wild West, where people are taking matters into their own hands. And I think that's due to a lack of leadership.
Another issue specific to Queens County is the prospect of a new craft pulp mill in Liverpool. What would your position and the People's Party of Canada position be on that? Paper Excellence has said that the business case isn't there yet for a successful mill here without government help. How would you respond to that?
I think the best way for local economies to prosper is for regulations to be set up to incentivize businesses to invest. I think what we've seen with the Liberals is that when they want to start writing checks for might be an EV battery plant in Quebec or in Ontario, that it's transactional in nature. And in those cases, billions of dollars of taxpayer money was given to a business that then subsequently files for bankruptcy. And so I think you really need to be able to understand why they didn't think the business case existed to begin with. What is the fundamental? Because I think governments are very good at writing checks with taxpayer money that doesn't belong to them to fix a problem without necessarily understanding what is that problem. And so I think if they're saying there isn't a business case for it, understanding what are the missing ingredients to make that business case work. And I don't think the checkbook should be the first tool that's used to solve that. The other thing I think that we should talk about in relation to businesses, there's a term that listeners may or may not be familiar with. It's called total factor productivity, or TFP. And those are things that largely relate to infrastructure. So let's say in the province, what is the ease of mobility to get trucks from one location to another? Or maybe it's a port, or maybe it's moving the lumber from this mill. One of the things that we come up short, I would say appallingly short, in infrastructure are the roadways. the roadways are awful. And whether you're on in a small town or if you're up in Halifax, Dartmouth, the on highways, they're absolutely underfunded. And what's the cost of being able to ease of mobility? So I think we should be focusing on infrastructure that makes it easier for goods to get from point A to point B. I think we should also be looking at the labor pool. How do we make sure that we have the right people with the right skills that can work at attractive wages so that we don't have to rely on importing folks from the third world to do jobs that Canadians are more than capable and more than willing to do if we give them, set them up for success and have the right conditions to do so.
Okay, so just to wrap things up here, I guess, Pat, what's your kind of closing argument here in the riding for why people should vote for you?
My big angle is that I believe in Canada first, genuinely. And Canada first means putting Canadians and Nova Scotians first. I believe that mass immigration is destroying the province. And I think the only way to get out of this globalist-induced mess is to look at a party that doesn't abide by or promote a globalist playbook. And unfortunately, the Conservatives, the Liberals, and the NDP are part of that globalist uniparty. They believe in mass immigration. They might have different numbers or different variations that they will pitch, but ultimately they're in favor of mass immigration. The People's Party is not. We believe in free, prosperous Canadians, and please go ahead and vote for the PPC.
Thanks very much, Pat, for coming into QCCR today to talk to us about the People's Party of Canada.
Thank you.
That was Patrick Boyd, the candidate for the People's Party of Canada in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. The interview was recorded on April 11th and edited for length. This wraps up our series of conversations with federal election candidates in South Shore St. Margaret's. We have spoken with Rick Perkins of the Conservative Party of Canada, Jessica Fancy Landry of the Liberal Party of Canada, and Green Party candidate Mark Embritt. Independent candidate Hayden Henderson did not respond to our request for an interview. You can listen to all the interviews on our website at qccrfm.com. For QCCR and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Rick Conrad.